at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
How many of God is, the Bible says when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. And you know, I'm so thankful for grace today. Every aspect of grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, the grace that covers our faults, but also the enabling grace, the grace that supercharges us to break through bondages, amen, to rise above, amen, adversity. But today we want to talk about what I've entitled, "By My Spirit, Saith the Lord." By my spirit, saith the Lord. My endeavor, as we have been discussing and talking over the past weeks, the example that God gave us with Israel coming out of wilderness or coming out of Egypt, sojourning through the wilderness and entering into their Canaan. Now, we looked at two of the enemies that await you in your Canaan. One of them was the Canaanites. The other are the Hivites. We looked at these two guys. Canaanites represent greed and covetousness. Hivites, their name is related to fear. So those are two things that must be conquered in your promised land. But before we ever cross over into the promised land, there's a work that God must complete in us in our wilderness. Before you ever enter that dimension of more than enough, God will take you through a dimension of just enough. And much is contingent upon how you deal with having just enough. You know, paycheck to paycheck, table to mouth, you know, just, that's all. We looked at in Philippians how the Word of God says that it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then it went on to say, therefore do all things without murmurings and disputings. In the wilderness, that's one thing that God has to work out of his children, is murmuring, disputing, complaining. Amen. Remember the root word of complain is the word remain. So look at somebody and tell them, complaining ain't going to get you nowhere. Now, you might think that the principle of the squeaky wheel gets the most attention. That's in the natural. But as far as spiritual progression, no. God has to work that out of you. He had to work it out of the Israelites. And we know the story that's written for our example. The ones that did murmur and complain, God fed up with them after a while. And that generation never came out of their wilderness. He raised up another generation to go in and possess the land. All right? So we're looking at these aspects. And I think more than anything, the wilderness plays a key part in our transformation as far as preparation for what God has for you. It is God's will that you prosper. No question about that. It is God's will that you be in health. It is God's will that your soul prosper, that you don't think in a impoverished manner, that you don't think small-minded. Tell somebody it's time to get big. To move on, if you're going to have something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. In order to be something you've never been, you got to do something you've never done. You got to test some parameters of grace. See, some don't understand the magnitude of grace that's on their life because they've never explored it. They're in a box with grace and just enough for me and my table, but you've never explored the parameters. But in the wilderness, God has to work in you a contentment so that when there is more than enough, you are not governed or ruled by money. In other words, money don't become your king. your ruler. You don't fall in love with money. Because in the wilderness, God worked in you the realization that I don't live by bread alone. You can have money and you don't have God, you don't have nothing. If I can say it that way, you are missing everything. Money makes itself wings. Money is temporary. It's just a currency. Amen. But that walk with God, that intimacy with God is what he wants to establish in your wilderness. Now, I want to draw something up here, if I can say it that way. We read in Deuteronomy 7, just write that down. We've looked at that verse before. Verse 1, how God is taking you, or in other words, in your future, God has in store the possession of a land where there are seven nations greater and mightier than you. I love that concept. God's about to do something for you and in you that you can't do yourself. Come on. He's going to put favor on some in this house that you know you couldn't. You know you don't deserve that. You know your education doesn't equate to that. That position, you know you don't qualify, except that God qualified you. Except that God put you there. Come on, he's going to put you among nations that are greater and mightier than you, but he's going to cause you to possess. Look at somebody tell you, this is a work of grace. So my key, or what my concern is not how it's going to happen. My concern is how do I tap into that grace? How do I remain in the place where this grace can work on me? We looked at Wednesday night how it's important God resists the proud. It don't mean that he doesn't love you, but he has to resist you. That's why oftentimes when we are very successful in a certain pattern, just a pattern of God will sometimes come in and disrupt that success because we can become or get successful and then begin to forget God. And so he's not going to allow any success where you forget him. That's a wonderful thing. That's a heavenly father. Amen. He'll correct us. He'll get us back in the path because he knows outside of himself, it means destruction. So he'll disrupt some things on purpose to bring us back into that place with him. Okay, so he's going to bring you. That's your destiny, to come into a place called your Canaan. And he's going to give you to possess a land among nations that he's going to drive out that are mightier than you. Amen. I just want to lay a foundation and a principle here in Isaiah 33. And let's start at verse number 20. No, let's start at verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive. Of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Briefly, I won't get into a lot of detail, but those verses have to do with a siege. Israel was about to be delivered from a siege of a nation, the Assyrians. Their language was deeper. They were a fierce people. They were sieging Jerusalem. And God was about to deliver them. Verse 20 says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. They had siege. They were sieging Jerusalem. In other words, it was chaos. But God says, you shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. An interesting verse, verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. A place of broad rivers and streams. To us today, this doesn't mean an awful lot, but let me give you the type. Let's see what it did mean. You know, cities back then, and even today, to some degree, cities, major cities, are built near waterways. There are rivers that pass through there. They're built by lakes, you know, any larger city on the ocean, whatever. But usually the more prosperous cities have lakes. Back in this time, when a city was built, they would build it by large rivers. Like, look, for example, Jordan. The Jordan River, the city that was first to the Jordan was Jericho, a very fortified city. But the River Jordan was a natural barricade to enemies. See, had not God dried up the Jordan and caused them to cross over, I mean, it was a big obstacle. But it was a natural barricade, a natural fortification. Now, Jerusalem had no rivers. They had no broad streams. They had no broad rivers. They had no streams. They had one brook, the brook Kedron, a brook, you know, a creek. In other words, they had no natural defense. But it says here, the glorious Lord will be unto us broad rivers and streams. You see, you may not have the best of material to work with. As I said earlier, you may not have the best of education. You may not have the best of anything. But God will take, and he himself. Come on, look at somebody. God's going to make up the difference. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of eighth grade in that race that I ran. Y'all have heard me talk or brag on this before. That was real fast in eighth grade. I got invited to a track meet because I was fastest at our school. And so I got invited to this regional track meet. And I show up, I had on a black pair of blue jeans, an old pair, I think they were Converses, Chuck Taylors, low top Chuck Taylors. I didn't know. I thought it was just going to be a, you know, street race. All these other guys showed up in the track shorts and the, you know, they were supported by, I guess, different track clubs and things. And some went to other high schools, but they were, and here I am in a pair of blue jeans. But I'll never forget the race, because I remember the gentleman that I beat was the fastest in the whole region. His name was Fred Huff. I'll never forget, because we played on the same football team together. But he was real, real fast. Long story short, the grace, I beat him by just a small margin. But nonetheless, I beat him.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 3 of Mega Grace. By my spirit, says the Lord. The Bible declares in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There are two enemies that awaits you in the wilderness, and they must be defeated there. God must complete a work in us in the wilderness. Murmuring and complaining must cease in your life to exit your wilderness experience. Some saints don't realize the beauty of their wilderness journey, but God is able to get some things out of us, and then he can replace them with the things of the kingdom. Growth is one of the end results of time spent in the wilderness. We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.